Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you. Thank you for taking the time to tune in on this Tuesday. Hey, I'm back from Africa, and I had a great, great time out there. It was a blessing, and it was just interesting not to be around my radio station or interviewing people or even around internet, for you know, but just helping people and being a blessing. We were able to minister to over 5,000 kids, and it was good. I went out there just to see the work that God had there. My pastor's been going there for 14 years, and he just wanted to show me what they were doing and to see if I want to include that in my India trips to visit Kenya as well. And we'll talk about that on the second segment of the show. But today we have Miss Shannon Dietz. And how are you doing, Shannon?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Well, we're glad to have you on the air with us, and we're excited about it. You're our first interview coming back from Africa, so you know there's a lot of pressure on you. No, I'm playing.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Well, Shannon is an author, and she also runs a ministry as well, and she does a lot of work out there, and I'll let her explain all that, but we want to know about you, Shannon. Just tell us a little bit about yourself, then we'll talk about your book and about your ministry as well.
Well, I am a mother of two boys and have been married for 16 years, and I just started the Hopeful Hearts Ministry that we help those that have been abused and who have just suffered, life circumstances that have left them, just feeling victimized, and trying to bring them into a life of survival and freedom of Christ's light and love. So,
amen.
It's been a lot of good work.
Amen. So how did you get involved in a work like that?
You know, I am an abuse survivor myself and lived through a life of victimization, of being caught up in that negativity of what had been done to me and what I had been, all the different life circumstances that just kind of kept bringing me down. And so in coming out of that, obviously God brought me out of the ashes and brought me into His freedom and light, and I just wanted to allow others to recognize that, they're not defined by what had been done to them or, life circumstances, even in the present moment, that they have a choice to follow God and to, focus on what it is that He wants them to do in this world, and that He can bring good from everything.
Amen. Amen. Now, I'm looking at your book. The title is Exposed: Inexcusable Me, Irreplaceable Him. Now, reading your testimony, and I took some time to go through that and just to understand, you've been through a lot, my sister.
Yes, unfortunately I have.
But, God's using that as a testimony today to reach those people that are out there. Because there's a lot of people that have gone through similar things that you've gone through but haven't reached out for the help or haven't even accepted the assistance of someone that is godly that could help them. Let's go through your testimony. Let's let the listeners know, who we have on the air right now with us.
Well, the main majority, I guess, of my testimony is the fact that I am a rape survivor. I've been raped twice. I was raped as a virgin in high school and then again a few years later in college. And I also there is some generational bondage going on there with, my sister was abused by my grandfather, and so there were some other abuses going on in our family just because of her reacting and acting out to the fact that she had been abused and she wasn't speaking about it and how she was victimized by her own abuse. And so it's just kind of a multifaceted story of how abuse can take someone and push them into shame, and how the enemy works on that to leave you in that fear and in that dark, so that you aren't looking at Christ, light, and you're not looking towards God to free you from these things that have happened. And there is evil in this world, and unfortunately there are these things that happen and as for me, these rapes that happened, which ultimately caused me to turn away from God, because I couldn't understand why these bad things were happening in my life, and which ultimately led me to making my own bad decisions and getting kind of deeper and deeper into this pit of self-destruction and despair. And so what ended up happening was I got so covered with shame and guilt and frustration and anger and resentment and bitterness. I was not a good person. I didn't even like myself. I didn't like who I was. And I just cried out one day. I just was sick of being this way. And I recognized, you know, God took every moment. I mean, he was with me along the whole way. I just never turned to him. And I finally opened up myself just a little bit and was like, okay, fine. If you can do something with me, Lord, then here, you know, try it. I was kind of putting him to the test, if you will. Like, what could you do with me?
Amen.
And he brought me out of those ashes and showed me that there was so much more to life than living in that victimization.
Now, you came to the Lord, you came back to the Lord at 27 years old.
Yes.
And between the time that you were your first altercation all the way to what was some of the abuse that was there?
It began with the rape, but it also was when I walked away from God, when I literally remember kind of making that decision of being both angry and feeling as if I could never be worthy enough of his love. And so I just said, what does he have for me? Like, there's no way I could ever be good enough for God again. And so in making that decision, I then went into trying to fill that void that God, you know, had in my life. And when I turned away, I was trying to seek love through man. You know, I thought I was already used and abused, so why not just allow myself to go on and be used even more? And then I got caught up in drinking and you know, drinking so much to where I was blacking out and trying to get rid of that pain and that hurt that I felt inside. And you know, dabbled in drugs a little bit in college, and just anything I could to try to just, you know, numb myself. I was just trying to, you know, hide from myself, if you will.
That's amazing. Now, I guess when I'm trying to find out as well is when a person is in that spiral, if you want to call it a spiral, that you were going through, just going down and down, hit rock bottom. Are you yearning for something? Is that person wanting something? I mean, do they want someone to rescue them?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I firmly believe that we are, I mean, God obviously knew us before he created us.
Amen.
I mean, he has given us this purpose. And so when we're born already with his love within us. And I knew God as a young girl, and I knew what it felt to have his love. And so when I walked away from that, when I started making my own decisions as well of to do these things, of parting and everything, I was trying to find that love again. I didn't realize at the time it was him, you know, that I was seeking, but there was that void. And I think we often try to find that love and that acceptance through man, through what society has to offer. But in reality, it's what God has for us. It's finding that love and acceptance and pure, unconditional freedom and love within our Creator, who God created us to be.
Amen. And Shannon, if you can tell us about the, excuse me, about the breaking point, about when you just said, God, I lift my hands up. It's not me. It's you. I want your will. And tell us about the relief. Tell us about what you felt.
Well, you know, I was so caught up in needing to control because of what I had been through. I needed to be in control of everything in my life. But what happened was I ended up becoming a mother. And for those that are parents can understand that, you know, especially when you have young children, it's so hard to feel like you're in any kind of control because you can't control, you know, those around you. And it's just, oh, you need God's help. And I, you know, I was so full of that resentment and anger and bitterness that I was talking about from all that had happened to me and that need to control. It made me somebody that obviously I didn't want to be, and it made me very angry, and I was taking it out on my child, and I didn't, I didn't want to be that person. And there was just that one moment where I saw this fear in my son's eyes as he looked at me, and I thought, oh my gosh, you know, who am I? I mean, this is not who I am. And I didn't feel any peace. All I felt was turmoil and strife. And so I, you know, in that moment, that's kind of what broke me. And I went into my bedroom, literally laid flat down on the floor and just said, God, you know, I don't want to be this person. I don't want to be that person that can bring fear into my son's eyes. You know, I don't want to be negative and all this. Just please take this control from me. Just take it from me. And that is when he brought me, literally brought me in out of those ashes, out of that pit, and allowed me to see, you know what, walk daily with me. And it wasn't that I got up off that floor and suddenly, you know, became who I am today. I mean, that was 11 years ago. You know, this has been a journey, and one that I've had to literally just, you take one day at a time, you walk with him, and you ask him, Lord, what is it? What is it that I can do for you today? What is it that you're calling me to do today?
Amen. Now, did your family see the difference immediately, or did they see it just progressing?
You know, I would imagine they did see it somewhat immediately, just because certain things I didn't want to partake in anymore. You know, I didn't want to talk about people anymore. I cussed quite a bit, and I, you know, suddenly it just didn't sound right to me. I mean, so little things like that, it was just like, I don't want to do that anymore. Now, my husband and I, you know, my arguing suddenly was different. And for him, I mean, he did notice it because he was expecting me to react a certain way. You know, we get so caught up in our own cycles of how we deal with things. And he was like, wait a minute, she's not screaming and yelling, you know. Not that I had never do that again. Like I said, it's been a journey, so I'm not trying to say I'm perfect.
But, amen, amen.
You know, so I do believe they saw a change. But, and, you know, we have our own journeys, and it's a lot of it has led, you know, my husband into his own, you know, faith journey with God and reconciliation with him. And so it's been wonderful.
Amen. Now tell us how the home changed besides the arguments and stuff. Was there more devotional time, or was church more of an importance to be there?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, obviously coming off of that floor and giving all that control to God, you know, I just so badly wanted to make sure that I could be in heaven. I mean, I fully believe he gave me just a brief moment of what it would be like to be with him for eternal life in heaven, of just that pure joy, that pure peace, and just knowing that this is what we live for. This life is so minuscule compared to what we will have with him in heaven.
Absolutely.
And so that's why daily I wanted to make sure I was living a life that could offer, you know, and make certain that I had that eternity in heaven. And so I wanted to be in his word daily, and I began doing Bible studies more. And that's when he called me into working, you know, in youth ministry. And it just kind of snowballed from there. And like I said, my husband began on his own journey, and we began praying as a family and praying together as a husband and wife. And so now we don't do anything unless we are going to God first. You know, what is it that is in your will for our lives, Lord?
Amen. Amen. So you put this book together. Why was it so important for you to put your stories in there? I mean, you left yourself a little vulnerable there, letting them know all your problems and your issues.
Right. I'm pretty raw, and I'm pretty, you know, a lot of people say at times it might be hard to read, but most of the comments I receive are from those that have experienced, if not most of what I've also gone through, or just a little bit of it. And I felt that God was asking me to tell it in its entirety, in its truth, because others need to know that, yes, somebody else has felt this way too. Somebody else has thought those same thoughts, or they've experienced those same experiences. And by knowing that somebody else can validate you and say, look, I know where you've been, I've experienced these same things, it helps you to come out and say, okay, then I can talk about it too. I can come out of this same shame or this same, you know, pit of despair that I've been in. And that's why I felt like and that's how I write, and that's what I do in all things. I'm very truthful and honest about my downfalls and what, you know, the enemy used to keep me in that darkness.
Amen. Now, that's got to help the kids. I mean, really, when they read the book or when they hear you speak, just seeing that you're real and that you have made mistakes and that God does forgive. Tell us about some of those testimonies as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when I have spoken all over the world to teenagers and just talked about, like I said earlier, these decisions that I made then to, you know, drink or go to these parties or get caught up and try to do away with all this negativity by just getting deeper and deeper into that sin, and just being truthful about it, but showing how God brought me out of that and what he has done for me in my life and shown me, you know, who he has created me to be and all the gifts and talents that he had waiting for me. These kids come up to me and they recognize that there's so much more in life for them and that they are not defined by what has been done to them or even some of the decisions that they have made. That God is daily there for us to say, look, you know, I love you in your brokenness, and I'm here to forgive you, and let's move forward. Let's move forward with the purpose that I've created you for light and for goodness and for love.
Well, I love this message. It's the message of hope, and that's what Jesus is, and that's a great message to be taken to the kids. For those just joining us, we're talking with Shannon Dietz with Exposed. She wrote a book called Exposed, and she also has a ministry with the youth and with almost anyone that is in a dark time of their life that needs for God to minister to their heart. And tell everybody how to get your book.
Well, you can go on my website, which is HopefulHeartsMinistry.com, and or you could go to Amazon or Barnes and Noble or any of those places. But also, I would love to hear from you. I have a Facebook page, Hopeful Hearts Ministry Facebook page. You can find me on Twitter, Shannon Dietz. You know, I do a daily blog. It's called Just Show Up, to show how God is showing up in our lives or how we can show up for Him daily. So I would love to hear from everybody.
Now, I was reading through some of the material that we have on you, and it mentioned that you have a 30% of the proceeds from your book are donated to the Maria Goretti Network. Tell us about that.
Yes, the Maria Goretti Network, I'm a spokesperson for them, and it is a abuse survivor support group that we are trying to get it into more churches throughout the country. But we meet, there's one in my area, and we meet once a month, and it's all abuse survivors, men and women, and they get to, you know, it's a place to talk about, you know, what you've lived through and what it's doing in your life today, just to be with other people that understand, you know, some of the triggers that you might have or this, what prayer that you might need. And then we also focus a lot on forgiveness and where we are in forgiving those that might have harmed us, and learning, you know, to love others as God has asked us to do. And so that ministry, we're trying to get it into more churches throughout the country. And actually, 30% goes directly to the Maria Goretti Network, and then the rest of the proceeds go back into the Hopeful Hearts Ministry so that I could give these books away to those that are in need that might not be able to afford it.
Amen. Amen. So how long did it take you to put this book together?
It took about a year to write, and it was a very cathartic process, you know, one that I needed to learn my own boldness and strength and to be able to feel fine with getting out this message that God's called me to give. So it took about a year.
Amen. And it's really well written. I've been going through it. And, you know, I really enjoy it. But what I really like is at the end of the book, what do you expect all the people that read this, what do you want them to grab from this? When they finish, they went cover to cover, they lay it on their nightstand or on their bed or whatever. What do you want them to get when they close this book?
I want them to understand that God loves them specifically, unconditionally, that no matter where their life is right now, that God can bring good from their life, and that he is calling them into his embrace, and that there is nothing, nothing that they could have done or are doing or whatever that could ever make him love them less, and that he is calling them to him. That's one message. The other message is, if something has been done or they've been stuck in something that has caused so much shame, to talk about it so that God can take that and bring them into his light and his goodness, because, you know, it just needs to be released and out of the dark.
Amen. You know, I got that from there when I was reading it. I hadn't read through the whole thing, but portions of it, and I got that in my heart, you know, that God's grace abounds. When I just read through that God's grace is with you. God's grace is part of, you know, part of your life daily, and it's a beautifully well-written book. I really endorse it. I ask everyone to look at it and see what they can get from it as well. Now, tell us about, before we let you go, I know you work with kids, and so I know you run into a lot of low self-esteem. Now, tell us about how this is becoming a national epidemic and what should be done about it, and what you think every kid should know.
You know, it's low self-esteem, insecurity. It's unfortunate how so much of our youth today focus on what it is that society is expecting of them, and is, you know, can I look up to what it is that society thinks, you know, should be good or should be right? And I think my call out would be to families that might be listening, and to say, you know, bring God into your family. Start praying together. Start allowing your son and your daughter to recognize that they are empowered by God, and that they have so much, you know, going for them that God has given them specifically, that we are each uniquely made, and that we each have our own talents and gifts that the person next to you doesn't have, but they have their own, and we need to begin to embrace the fact that we are empowered by God, and not to give our power away to this view that, you know, society thinks that we should look a certain way or wear certain things or, you know, be like everybody else. No one person should be the same as somebody else. Do you know what I mean?
Amen.
And I think that these young people just need to start finding that power within them and saying, look, I'm not going to give my power over to somebody else, and to offer that insecurity, you know?
Amen. Well, that's a very important ministry you have, and that is an important message that people should hear. Please tell us about the mission of the Hopeful Heart, and then just give us your contact information before we go.
Yes, Hopeful Heart ministry is, you know, we're set out to offer the hope of Christ's light and love to those who are suffering. And it's not just for teens or just for women. It's for women, men, teenagers, whatever, however your age is, and it's to offer, like I said, offer this book to those who can't afford it, but also to bring my message to women's shelters and to the shelters that are halfway houses that are getting young people out of this sex slave trade, and I speak at penitentiaries and all of those things, and that's what the ministry offers. But I also lead retreats, I speak at churches and at conferences, and that money goes back into this ministry so that I can be elsewhere where they can't afford, you know, to have me. So.
Amen.
And hopefully we hope to offer, you know, scholarships for counseling and all of that, but it's a new ministry, so I've got many ideas.
Amen. Well, if you ever feel led that God's called you to India or Africa, let me know, because those are areas that we've been going into lately, and we're able to go into schools and talk to the children, and there's over thousands of kids in public schools and in Christian schools that we're able to get to. So.
Wow, I would love to.
All right, let everybody know your websites again and how to get your book.
Okay, it's hopefulheartsministry.com. And you can get, it's called Exposed, Inexcusable Me, Irreplaceable Him.
Amen. Amen. And you can get her book Exposed at Amazon or on her website as well.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you for being a part of the show. And we love you, my sister.
Thank you. And thank you for having me. And thank you for doing all the good work you're doing.
Okay. Anytime you come off a trip and you had some testimonies you want to share, just give us a holler. We'd love to get you back on the air.
Okay. Perfect.
All right. God bless. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Amen. Amen. That was Miss Shannon Dietz, and that was a great interview with her. A great comeback on our interviews because we've been gone for at least a couple of weeks and hadn't had anyone in here. And we have Mr. Lee Short coming up next, and he just walked in and I text my pastor and said, "Hey, bring him back. We want to get him on the air." It's not often that we get a man of that caliber doing the work that he does. And I had a cancellation on my second interview. We had BB Winans supposed to come in, it just didn't work out. We're gonna try and get them next month and talk about his book, The Whitney I Knew, back, I guess, when that happens. We'll see. Anyway, we'll be right back. Short break. Again, that is Shannon Dietz. You can go to her website, hopefulheartsministry.com, and you can see a lot of stuff. I love her website. I think it's one of the most put-together, well-ministering type websites. There's a lot of ministry sites that I see that are a lot more advertising than ministering, but this one seems very nice, and I like it. So visit that site, and we'll be right back. Let me put some music on for you, and we'll be back in just a second.
Of the air, Dr. Dwight Allen.
I first met Adam Greenberg in Arizona during spring training as a young, likable kid who was battling for an outfield job with the Cubs. In July 2005, the Cubs brought him up in the big leagues. He was asked to pinch hit July 9th against the Florida Marlins with Los Santos, a big 6'2" left-hander, on the mound. During his first big league appearance, the first ball pitched hit him in the head. He spent months in the hospitals trying to overcome dizziness. The Cubs released him, but he was picked up by the Dodgers. I mean, he was such a great kid, and I still pray for him. But he won't quit, so don't you quit when something takes you out of the game, okay? Dwight Allen for a 60-second look at sports.
Do you believe in a living constitution? Living things change and die. The Constitution does not. Its purpose? To limit dangerous government power. The U.S. Constitution, the law of the land that federal officials have sworn to uphold, is an obstacle only to the lawless. It's like those who ignore the speed limit for what suits them. Some people treat God's law that way too. Instead of adjusting themselves to it, they adjust it to what suits them. They are a law unto themselves. Activist judges are lawless judges. Only the lawless believe in living laws, and lawless people are criminals at heart. Lawful people meditate in God's law day and night and are like trees planted by rivers of water. ChurchOfTheKingMacAllen.com on Ware Road, just south of Trenton. Side with God against yourself and be a winner. Lose your life to Christ and save it. 585-4402. President Harry Truman said the fundamental basis of this nation's laws was given to Moses on the Mount. If we don't have the proper fundamental moral background, he said, we will finally wind up with a totalitarian government that does not believe in rights for anybody. End quote. If morality is not rooted in God's character, then it's found in man, the mob, or the state. We kick God out and then wonder where he was when the slaughter took place. Psalm 2 says, the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his Christ, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. The cords of the Ten Commandments are too binding for them. They rage because they want to be free, but Jesus says, he that sins is the slave of sin. ChurchOfTheKingMacAllen.com on Ware Road, just south of Trenton, 585-4402. Side with God against yourself and be a winner.
Hi, I'm Peter Stanway from The Way Christian Ministries. If we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and put our faith in Him, there's no need for us to be anxious about anything. We can make our prayer requests to God with thanksgiving in the full assurance of faith, believing that He will answer our prayers. The revelation of this truth is gloriously liberating. Of course, the root of this revelation is that God has indeed given us the assurance that He wants to give us what we ask for. Therefore, we ask knowing that He has told us what to expect. Let me explain. Faith comes by hearing God. That means we build our faith on the foundation of what God has said to us personally. Fear and anxiety oppose faith, but faith is much more powerful. We trust in God and His Word as we rejoice in answered prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us faith and victory. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor David Hope with Metro Church with a word about fulfilling your destiny. Galatians 4, verse 22 and 23 say that Abraham had two sons, one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Wow, he of the free woman was born by promise. Verse 29 tells us that he was born by the power of the Spirit. Everything that comes from the kingdom of God comes by promise. The promise is the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1 says that God has given, past tense, unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, and he has given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. These promises are great and precious to you because they're your way of escape from the corruption that's in this world through lust. If you have everything that pertains to life and godliness, then you have no need to lust after anything. The key to reaching your destiny is this. Abraham was fully persuaded that God was for him, that God is good, and that God was willing and able to perform the thing that he had promised no matter what. For more information about Metro Church, visit our website at emetrochurch.com. That's the letter E, metrochurch.com. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Trace Embry, founder and director of Shepherd's Hill Farm. In 1994, with only $200 to our name, my wife Beth and I felt impressed of the Lord to purchase a tract of land in Martin, Georgia that has now morphed into what is known as Shepherd's Hill Farm. We knew we were supposed to purchase the property a year and a half before it was even for sale. It was formerly an illegal drug operation that took the lives of three people, but God preserved this property for us, despite the fact that others presented cash to purchase it outright. I remember praying to God that he would use this property not just to change Little Martin, Georgia, but all of America. Today, troubled teens from around the world are being healed at Shepherd's Hill Farm, and they're taking what they're learning and experiencing back to their communities as change agents for Jesus Christ. And you can read the entire incredible story in our forthcoming book, The Miracles of Shepherd's Hill Farm.
Trace is the founder and director of Shepherd's Hill Farm, where teens struggling with behavioral issues come to find healing from their destructive ways. Discover how Shepherd's Hill Farm can help your hurting family at shfteens.org.
Hi, I'm Peter Stanway from The Way Christian Ministries. Faith is believing what God said will happen. Although we believe God will provide, it requires us to hold fast, not wavering through unbelief, to be fully persuaded that God will do what he has promised. God manifests his supernatural provision through natural channels. He uses people to distribute his wealth. Real people with real hands to distribute real money. People like you and me. Often our giving can require just as much faith as believing we will receive. Has God challenged you to believe for the impossible? Has God challenged you to provide for the impossible? Has God challenged you to do the impossible? Live the dream by faith. All things are possible. Thank you, Jesus, that you have taught us to live by faith. Amen.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and we have Mr. Lee Short in the studio with us. Say hello, Lee.
Hey, how you doing?
And he's kind of like, what are we going to talk about? I go, well, you know what? The my audience hasn't heard anything about you, and they will guess they want to get to know who you are, my brother.
There you go.
And I'll make you feel comfortable, and we got Pastor on the sideline just in case he got to jump in and say something for us. But we're just excited that you're here, and it's a privilege because I've been wanting to get you on the air with this. So just tell us a little bit about yourself and your testimony.
Thank you, David, and it's a pleasure to be here. My name's Lee Short, and we have been in ministry since about 1975, since my wife and I have been married, and even before that as a single. The Lord has used me to reach people for Christ, to make disciples, and to love people into the kingdom. Currently, we're missionaries in Mexico. We have started churches here in the United States in South Georgia. We helped pioneer a work in Eastern Shore, Maryland, back in the late 70s. We founded the church in Americus, Georgia, and also one here in Kingwood, Texas. Raised my family on the mission field from 88 to 94 in Mexico, and my wife and I returned to Mexico in 2005. And besides that, while I was pastoring in the Kingwood area, we took our Video Bible Institute, which is in Spanish, to 22 countries, helping churches throughout Latin America to have Spanish Bible schools.
Amen. Amen. So currently, that's your focus right now, is the Bible schools?
Right. In Mexico, we have a community center. We're feeding and teaching children. We have approximately 100 kids enrolled at the community center, and we provide hot meals, and we're reaching people to Christ, helping to disciple these children, but we're doing it in an outreach form that is a community center. And at the meantime, we're getting our Video Bible Institute out on the air on low-power television, and we're getting ready to start carrying it back into other countries throughout Latin America and other places in the world where there's Spanish-speaking people.
Now, we hear a lot of stuff about Mexico. Of course, being here by the border in Houston and, you know, just having the valley not that far away from us and all the way up to Laredo. How is ministry out there right now?
Well, can we change the subject?
We can. Let's go.
Things are challenging, and there are difficulties.
Amen.
You know, there's places in Houston that are pretty dangerous.
Yes, that's true.
And you know, there's when you're in a hostile environment. You need to be prayed up and, you know, be prayed up.
But has the overall, is there openness to the gospel?
Yes. There's openness to the gospel. And, you know, the area we're at is one of the safest places in Mexico. And because we're a community center and we're working with the poor, we get a lot of attention. The type of attention that we'd rather not have.
Oh, wow. Well, now, what part of Mexico are you in again?
We are in the Puerto Vallarta area. We're in a small town in Mezcalis, and we're helping marginal children, people that are living on the edge. It is unimaginable to see how many people live. There's a place 5 minutes down the road where we minister, and where there's another ministry there, several other ministries, and the people live in cardboard shacks.
Wow.
And sleep on the floor. And even the children that come to our center, many of them don't even have a bed.
Wow. Wow. So it's a pretty poor area, pretty devastated with that.
Right. And, you know, the Puerto Vallarta area is world class. It's the number one tourist destination in Mexico, and yet you have the extreme, plush world class resort, and you know, and then you have many people barely making it, living on the fringes. We struggle with when the government doesn't spray. In the resort areas, they spray. Where we live, many times the mosquitoes aren't sprayed, and children suffer, and you know, everyone suffers with dengue fever and from the mosquitoes and everything.
Wow. So, I mean, it's definitely, you're going to be there. You need to know that you're called to be ministered in that area.
Right. I mean, you know, missionaries can choose to live, you know, many times where they want to live. Mm-hmm. And but if you're going to work among the poor, and, you know, we built out there without water, without electric. We slept on the floor for many months. We went without air conditioning for, you know, a couple years.
Wow.
And we knew, you know, by our experience, the tremendous duress that the average person lives under, the toll that living like that, you know, is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're grateful we're not living like that now. But, you know, it was quite an experience to live in the way that people who do not have suffer.
Wow. I mean, that generally opens up your heart even more.
Right.
Because you felt the pain, you felt the, and to an extent, I mean, of course, you knew God was doing things and that's why you were there. But to a lot of these kids and a lot of these individuals, they really don't know where the end is for them as far as getting the relief they need and the help they need.
That is true. And, you know, the Mexican people are very resilient people. You know, in the cardboard, we call it cardboard Landia, where 1,500 families are living in, you know, utter poverty. And yet, you know, they have tremendous physical needs, and yet there is an inward joy, you know, where, you know, tortillas and frijoles, you know, if they can eat, you know, there's a joy that breaks through in their lives.
Amen.
And, you know, we share with them the good news of Jesus Christ. And not too long ago, I went down there to minister and to preach, and we had 100 dispenses, groceries to give out to 100 families. And, you know, I told the people, I said, you know, you have real need. And, you know, we're glad to be able to help you, you know, with these, you know, with this, with these groceries. But there's a greater need than your physical need, and
Amen.
That's your spiritual need. Mm. And we ministered about that greater need, because everything temporal is going to pass away.
Absolutely.
And our bodies one day will no longer be walking the earth, but our spirits were made forever. And then, of course, one day God will resurrect the body to be with the spirit. But our greatest need is Jesus. Our greatest need is eternal life. Our greatest need is the bread of life.
Absolutely.
Which is Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Me and Pastor just got back from Africa and Kenya, and you can see there's a need. There's just need with the people out there, the kids out there. And then when I go to India, oh, there's just even magnified. And the only thing you can really give them, yeah, you can feed them for a day, and you can help them. But the main thing, if you can get across to them in their spirit about the need of Christ, and that's going to change things. That's going to change things. I was blessed this last month to see the work that Pastor's been doing out there in Africa. And I got to tell you, India is not the same. In Africa, there's a blessing in the area that the people that are there, and just the love of God. And this man, my pastor, really poured a lot of sowing and reaping, showing them those principles and giving them those basic things. And it's actually changed. It's literally changed a nation in the way with it raised up a man that was out there that was Kenyan that was able to just take those principles and build. And it's just amazing when you give them. I mean, yeah, pastor was there to be a blessing also financially, but he gave them what was important, which was the word of God. And I just want to encourage you that what you're doing is going to change those kids' lives and stuff and change those people's lives. So do you have churches that you planted there as well?
Our emphasis has been the community center.
Okay.
Through the Video Bible School, we have raised up, I have no idea of the number of ministries that plant churches. And so we see that as the vehicle by equipping the Hispanic people through teachers that are Hispanic. All the material
okay.
is from gifted Hispanic Bible teachers.
Amen.
And so we're helping them by giving them the tools they need to equip their people so that the gospel is taking not through the eyes or the mentality of a different culture, but within their context, within their cultural context, the Word of God is digested and given so that they can carry out the Great Commission. As I said, we've worked in 22 countries. I've traveled one end of Cuba to the other. I've been minister for years all over Peru, all over Central America, into Europe, into North Africa, into Morocco, into next to Morocco, to the Spanish-speaking Arabs there, and to the islands in the Caribbean, to numerous Indian groups where those that spoke Spanish would have to translate it into the Indian dialect so that those that were watching that did not speak Spanish could understand. And so by equipping and making disciples, we have seen, I can't even put a number on it, but we have sown and sown since 1991. We have been equipping Hispanic people to do the work of the ministry.
Amen. Amen. So how many students do you think you have now that's come through the program for you?
Well, we have literally trained thousands and maybe tens of thousands. When I say that, I was recently on Skype with a pastor from Peru who the Peruvians, we have so much fruit in Peru. They have taken our materials, copied it, recopied it till where the images are not no longer even recognizable of the teachers. And when they were telling me, as they were doing these pastors' conferences all over the nation of Peru, they said, if you bring this certain teacher out, we could fill a stadium of people who want to hear him.
Amen.
And so, you know, I don't know, but someday,
amen,
I probably never will find out.
So tell us this as an example. How do they take the course?
Okay, back in the day of VHS, I would load suitcases of VHS and carry them into countries. Today, you know, they can go to our website. Vida, VIDAINT.org. And they can go to our website, register, and begin to take the course there. We have been on local low-powered station on 21.2. We were being aired Saturday evening and early Sunday morning. We're getting ready to do a major launch through that channel and through four other channels in Odessa and Lake Charles and Beaumont, Ciudad Victoria. And we're getting it out in various ways. The material is available to be purchased on hard drive.
Okay.
Brother Lee, on your course in Spanish, mm-hmm. how many hours is the course?
Well, currently we have 15 courses, and each course has 10 to 12 lessons. Each lesson is approximately 45 to 55 minutes. Wow. We're currently believing God that we're going to produce a new course each month. At the end of this month, we're going to produce a course. We're scheduled on the 27th, 28th, 29th to record a course on hermeneutics. And so that's what we're, you know, that is our goal, to continue to produce new materials.
Amen. Amen. Pastor, you want to throw anything else in?
Other than You know, here we were in Africa for a week without air conditioning. Like, oh, Lord Jesus. And so we just bless you, brother.
The pastor was dying out there.
Oh, man. We literally...
You know, 2 years, I'll think.
We literally slept on towels. For the first 2 months, we slept on the floor.
Wow.
And we were on an air mattress that kept going flat, and so we slept on the floor. Then we got a mattress, and we're sleeping on towels. And they would get so wet, and we'd run out of towels, and I'd have to wring the towels dry by hand and lay down and try to catch a couple Z's.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing.
But that's how many of the people live every day of their life.
Amen. Amen. Tell everybody how they can support you, my brother.
You can go to our website, lsmi.org, Lifesavers Ministries International. Also my name, Lee Short Ministries International. If you go to lsmi.org, you can find a way to support us. Also, on the website, there's newsletters for just about every month since 1988. What is that? Somewhere around 25 years.
Wow.
Of newsletters, so that you can actually see
the growth,
the ministry, and the countries we've ministered in, and reports dating all the way back to then.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. Is there anything you want to tell the listeners before we go?
The greatest need that this world has is Jesus Christ. Our Lord is coming back quickly, and we need to be about the Father's business. We need to work while it's day, and we need to be involved in one way or the other in the Great Commission, in making disciples, teaching them all the things that Jesus commanded us to teach.
Amen. The Bible says, how can they hear unless they get a preacher? And how can the preacher get there unless you send them? So, you know, this is one way you can do it. This is a ministry that I know my pastor's known for a long time and introduced me to him a couple of years ago. And I really believe that they're doing something out there. And anytime you can disciple someone to do the work, people are going to be reached by the person of that native country more than they're going to be reached from an outsider. They're going to be reached in their own dialect, their own customs, their own manners. They're going to be able to relate to Jesus more when someone that's coming from their nation is able to do it. And this is what this man does, Mr. Lee Short, and we're excited about that. Remember, you can go to Vita International to take the courses. You can go to lsmi.org to view all the ways that you can help. And we have one more thing. Go ahead, brother.
And also, we would like an opportunity to minister in churches, and we could schedule a time. You can contact us through our website, and we could try to schedule a date in the future when we could come and minister the Word of God in your church.
Amen, amen. Well, I really encourage you to get a hold of Lee and to see what you can do with them as far as in ministry and stuff. Do trust God just to bless you, and He is going to bless you. Well, thank you, Lee, for being a part of the show.
Thank you. God bless.
Amen. Thanks, Pastor, for chiming in there for a sec.
Thank you. God bless you.
Amen. Lee, would you pray for everyone before we go?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for all that you're doing, for the work that you're doing through David here and reaching out to others, to helping to make other ministries visible so that people can be aware of what different laborers are doing in your harvest field. Father, we ask a blessing upon his life, upon this ministry, upon this outreach. And we ask a blessing upon every listener that whatever their need may be, that they would find that you are faithful, that you said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be open to you. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thanks again, my brother. We will be here tomorrow, and we'll have another great guest, and we'll be here, I think, with Andy Irwin from October Baby and the video that he did back at February and March. It was released in theaters, did really good. We'll be having an interview with him as well. All right, God bless. We'll talk to you next time on The Midwatch. We'll see you later. Well, we're not getting any music. There it goes. Okay, you know, I always have problems here and there. Remember, you can write me, Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. Email me, David@revmedianetwork.com. God bless you.